We're going to start a new series that I titled Catching Fire. And I really believe that in the body of Christ, you see something happening nowadays, which I really is just becoming kind of a most churches preach what some may call a social gospel. It's just kind of a feel-good gospel. It's just kind of a feel-good place. You know, we get together and we chum around and we have a country club feel. And, hey, I'm with my – it's kind of like – how many remember the show Cheers, you know? You know, everybody knew their name, you know? I mean, no, that's good. And that's a part of what God has for us. But it doesn't stop there. And I think so much of the time we see people, we're not living with the kind of passion, the kind of power that really the Bible says we should have. And really, I believe it's time for the church of Jesus Christ to catch fire. I mean, so many times they say, well, what was different that the early church or people that you read about or people in parts of the world, what's different in their lives? Why is it you hear stories of people going overseas and there's a revival? You hear about a revival over there, but I'm not experiencing that in my life. And it's really because we are not catching fire with God. See, nothing's changed. I mean, Holy Spirit came some 2,000 years ago, still flowing, still working in the earth. And we're going to look a little bit at the early church, but we're going to look at really the simplicity of what it was they believed. But the difference was they believed it. They were passionate. They were excited. They allowed the Holy Spirit. Realize, the Holy Spirit came, and the Bible says it came, and there were tongues of fire over those in that upper room. You look at fire, and fire really, throughout the Bible, you'll see that it really represents a sacrifice. It represents consummation. I mean, when you see fire come, it's something that cleanses, brings purity, and Holy Spirit does all that. He comes, and through the grace of Jesus Christ, he cleanses us, he purifies us, he receives us as an offering to God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But then he consumes our lives, and really, I think we're consumed with so many different things in our culture that we're not consumed with God. And so our lives really lack the spiritual fervor, if you will, of what it is God has for us and what really the Bible shows us we're supposed to have. Read with me, if you will, in Acts 1:4. It says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times and season which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.'" And so they're saying, "Jesus, tell us, what's the sign of the times, all those things?" How many know, you want to know what the signs are, where you're living? So many people are saying we're living in the last days, and I believe we are. We're very close to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I won't put a date on that, and I don't think we can, but even as Jesus said here, it's not for you to know. Listen, we can know when the time is close, but what does he say to the disciples? He says, "You receive power. You receive the power, and then go and be witnesses." The Holy Spirit is the power God gives us to be witnesses. It's not so much about, well, when is Jesus turning? And we're going to look at a little bit of Bible prophecy probably in the course of this series so we can realize, listen, I believe we are living in times like none other. But God wants to do a work in the church of Jesus Christ that you and I need to open up our lives and say, "God, have your way in me. God, have your way." It's more than just saying, okay, I went to church or I did this or did the other thing. It's power, what? To live righteous, first of all. It's power to tell others. It's power to heal, to deliver, to save. And really, those are the signs of the kingdom that Jesus said repeatedly. You can see this in the gospel, that when the Holy Spirit comes, these signs will come on those who believe. Power to preach the good news of the gospel. Romans 1:16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God." You wonder, what's the power of God? It's the gospel. Somebody says, "Well, you know, maybe we need something else." No, we need the gospel. The gospel is enough. It's all the early disciples had. That's all we've ever had. But the difference was they believed it. They believed it, and they allowed God to come in and start to change their lives. And I believe that if we just say, "God, have every part of me. I receive the gift of your grace. I receive the Holy Spirit. I believe that the gospel of Christ is the power of God for salvation, for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, for it is written, 'The just shall live by faith.'" Do I believe that I am the righteousness of God? And so many times as Christians, you know, we're caught up in our imperfections. And I mean, we got imperfections. I mean, we have weaknesses. We have areas, you know, that really don't look a lot like Christ. That's okay, though. But don't focus on those areas. Focus on the fact that God, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and now sending the Holy Spirit into your life, made you holy and will keep you holy and continue to do a work. To live a life full of fire, I believe you and I have got to embrace and proclaim the gospel. Problem is, I think as Christians, we thought, well, you know, the gospel just, well, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and I've heard that many times, but we're not allowing it to continually change our lives. And so we don't tell others about it. We live powerless lives. We don't live lives like God wants us to, because we're not really believing that God's not holding our sins against us any longer. God has changed us for a purpose. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that he made us the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. He has made us as if we have never sinned. He has made us as righteous as himself. We're living in times when all believers should not be weighted down with believing we're not good, smart, or rich enough to spread the gospel. Because that's what the devil wants to do. He wants you to think, well, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you don't know enough doctrine. Listen, all you need to know is the power of God, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ that's working on the inside of me, and then start to tell other people. Amen. All right? And you and I, if we would believe that and say, you know what, it's not based on me. It's based on what Jesus did for me and what he's continuing to do for me. And it says here that the just will live from faith to faith. You and I are living by faith, believing God that he is doing great things in our lives. He is sufficient. He has provided all that we need to succeed. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 20 through 21, it says, "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, but pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." What's that message? The message is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for those who believe. In verse 24, he says, "But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God." Do you realize Christ is power in our lives? Christ is wisdom in our lives? When we don't know how to deal with situations, you know that Christ is the wisdom that we need. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that he has become wisdom for us. I prayed earlier that we have the mind of Christ. You know that in God's plan, he is working in us, perfecting us to do his good will, to do his pleasure, giving us the desire, giving us the power to live in a way that pleases him. But the problem is we're just so distracted by so many things. We live in times that really are just distracting, consuming us. It's just amazing, amazing, amazing how many things we've got to be busy with in our lives. And we wonder why we don't see the power of God working in our lives. But it says here that Christ is the power of God, the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Don't you listen to people say, well, you need more than that. Don't you listen to people say, well, the gospel, that's not enough. Listen, the gospel is enough. The gospel is all that we need. It's the wisdom of God. It's believing that God is doing greater works than I can do. It's a gift. And it really, we should be getting our eyes off of ourselves and getting our eyes fixed on Jesus. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, that we should lay aside every weight and the sin that besets us. Listen, he's taking care of that. And then run with endurance the race he set before us, but focusing on Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. Focusing on him, not the other things in our lives. Not focusing on ourselves. Not focusing on our shortcomings. So many times people say, well, grace, what do you mean? Is that really the answer? I believe 100% that the grace, the gospel of Christ, is the answer for us living a victorious life. Not only forgiving us of our sin, not only making us righteous, but empowering us to live in the power of the grace of God. Look what it says here. If you can look this up, Zach, 2 Timothy 2:1. I want to read 2 Timothy 2:1 and then verse 4. So verses 1 and 4. In the New King James Version, 2 Timothy 2:1-4. He says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." You know that grace can make us strong to live for God. Look at what it says in verse 4. "But no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as" what? "A soldier." See, grace is enough, but the problem is so many of us have entangled our lives in so much of this world that we're not believing in the grace that saved us. The Bible says, the same way you received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him. The message is the same. You may be sitting here this morning and say, but Pastor, you don't know what I've done since I've been a believer. It doesn't matter. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've said. You don't know the problem I'm facing. Listen, Christ is enough. The grace of God is enough. a friend of mine, Lee Cummings, many of you know who he is. He's author, preacher, pastors a church down in Kalamazoo, Michigan, called Radiant. I've got a little quote of him. He says this. He says, grace is not only does not only excuse our sin, but it also empowers us. He says it's like life's blood or oil to an engine. It filters out the junk and brings newness of life. Do you know, when you see that really is what grace does, and we'll look at some scriptures here, it not only filters me out, not only cleanses me by the gift of Jesus Christ, but allows me really to live in a new life. All right? Matter of fact, read this with me if you will. Romans 6:1. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Listen, when we become believers, we believe that Jesus has forgiven our sins, and he has. That he's made us as righteous as himself, and he has. But we got to take it a step further. We can now live in a newness of life. It says, as you've been buried in baptism, so now walk in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. This is the truth of the gospel. It hasn't changed. It worked for the early church. It works for you and I. Verse 5, he says, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of what? His resurrection. Say resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. Listen, we don't live according to that old man, our shortcomings, our sin, our problems. He says, knowing this, our old man was crucified with him that the body of sin might be done away with once and for all, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Listen, you and I are not slaves of sin. He is taking care of the old nature. For he who has died has been, what, freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. And even as death no longer has dominion over him, death no longer has dominion over you and I. The Bible says we pass from death into life when we come to Christ. And that life is so much more than just eternal life, living forever with Jesus, floating around on a cloud with a harp or a bow and arrow. I mean, listen. But he has given us newness of life to live victoriously. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you know that when God looks at you, he sees Jesus, the death, burial, resurrection. Your sins are forgiven, but now you are empowered with the Holy Spirit. Would you catch fire? Would you allow him to start to get into your life and start to really breathe life into it? And I know that's a challenge sometimes because we get to live with ourselves. It's hard. But see, we shouldn't put our eyes on ourselves. We should realize that we're dead to sin. It no longer has dominion over us. We are righteous. We are a new creation. Be a fire starter. Catch fire and other people will catch fire with you. Romans 6:12, he says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as what? Instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. We're not under law. We don't save ourselves. We don't perform to keep ourselves right with God. But you and I need to allow the Holy Spirit to transform our mind so that we can believe that we're righteous, so we can believe I have the power of God living on the inside of me. And I'm not going to live according to that old nature. I'm not going to live according to the sins of the flesh. I'm going to live according to a resurrected power of Jesus Christ on the inside of me. And so today, Father, I thank you because you've called me, because you've gifted me with the Holy Spirit. Even though I see that I'm not all those things the Bible says, I know because your word says it, I believe it. And by the same grace that saves me, I release that grace in my life to live a power-filled life. See, the problem is we don't believe right. Here's our battle is in our mind. It's not about what we do. It's about what we believe. And if we believe the right thing, we don't have to worry about the doing. It'll take care of itself. But the problem is we don't believe the right thing. We really don't believe that God could use us. We really don't believe that our sin is gone as far as the east is from the west. It's done. Can't keep looking at ourselves according to our own selves. You know, you and I need to surrender so that we can allow God to bring correction into our life, so we can allow God to bring vision into our lives, so we can allow God to come and just start to speak into our life so that we can have the kind of life that he has for us. Titus 2:11, it says this: "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age." What does teaching mean? So grace teaches us. It means to chasten, to instruct, to learn, or to teach. Holy Spirit comes. Jesus talked about this, that he would come and not speak of his own authority, but speak. It's you have Jesus living on the inside of you. And if we would just believe that and then prioritize our life and allow God, by the Holy Spirit, Jesus, to speak to us by his word and start to direct us, start to shape us, start to correct us, start to chasten us, start to teach us. It's not something we do for ourselves. It's something he does for us. And honestly, so many Christians don't really receive the fullness of the affection of God. I don't know if maybe you've heard of a pastor, preacher, author named Gregory Dickow. He says this, I love this saying, affection plus correction equals direction. Affection plus correction. Only God can correct us. Listen, don't let someone tell you do this, don't do that, don't do those kinds of things. But when we receive the affection of God, what God does is he comes and he gently starts to lead us in the right direction. He gently starts to show us, go over here, go do this. You're forgiven of this. I've got this plan for your life. And when we take time to allow him to in our lives to correct, to instruct, to chasten, then we have direction for our lives. The problem is so many of us are consumed with the things of this life, and so we don't have the proper direction for our lives. 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know, God wants to instruct us how to live this righteous life that he's given us, and teach us how to walk it out, how to bring the gospel to other people. It says that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God wants to equip you and I thoroughly for every good work. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to what? The obedience of Christ." You know that Jesus Christ fulfilled complete obedience? And we need to bring our thoughts and say, you know what? God, if you say I'm righteous, if you say I'm new in Christ Jesus, and not only are my sins buried in the past, but I also have your righteousness living on the inside of me, and now I can live through the obedience of Jesus Christ, and that same obedience is producing obedience in me because you're working in me to will and to do your good pleasure. But again, our focus is wrong. We're not focusing on God. We're not focusing on this gift. We're not allowing him to tell us over and over all the things that he's got for us. Your identity is not found in you. And so many of us, we're looking for this and that and the other thing and staying busy trying to find our identity. And the world can literally suck the life out of us. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't pray and ask God what kind of job we should have or what it is we should be doing with our life. Absolutely, that's what we should be doing. But we should find out what he wants us to do and how the transformed man, the new man, the resurrected man performs in whatever that call is and what he has for us. Lining up my thinking, believing the right thing. 2 Corinthians 10:17, he says this, "But he who glories, let him what? Glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends." Listen, we glory in the Lord. God has commended us in Christ Jesus. The change starts to happen from the inside out. And you and I build on the foundation of grace that God's put in our lives. The Bible says, "Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Depart from thinking and living in a way that is way below what God has planned for us. It's not something that we work in our own strength, but it's something that he shows us time and again what he has for us. See, when we meditated on who God created us to be, we become that person. And the problem is we're not taking time to read the scriptures that talk about us being a new creature, talk about us being the righteousness of God, talking about us laying the hands on the sick and they recover, talk about us living in right relationships with one another. See, he's made our spirit perfect. We start to believe in our mind, and then we start to live differently in our bodies. See, our focus needs to change. When our focus changes, he gives eternal life, and he won't, and he'll give us everything that we need. We can live a life of fire for him. I want to look at a scripture, 1 Corinthians 3. If you can look this up, Zach. 1 Corinthians 3. The Holy Spirit, again, is really pictured as a fire, all right? John the Baptist said, I baptize with water, but one comes who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, we talked early on about how fire is something that consumes. It's something that purifies, something that prepares. And you see the same theme in 1 Corinthians 3. I want to read a few scriptures, 10 through 13. It says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, and that is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. And then verse 16, he says, do you not know that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And so, see, by the grace of God, he's saying, build on the foundation that I have given you. But the problem is we haven't allowed God to build in our lives with the proper things. And so we have a life that doesn't look like what God wants us to. And so we look at that and we think, well, grace doesn't work. Yes, it does. We need to be transformed in our minds. Acts 2:1, he says this. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So what happened is they sat around, they waited, because Jesus said, wait until that Holy Spirit comes. But the thing is, have we lost the art of waiting? Have we lost the art of being in the presence of God? Being of one accord, being in one place. Our lives should be consumed and directed by God, catching fire, being filled with his Spirit, praying in the Spirit, singing in the Spirit. You know, if we would just pray in other tongues, our life would just start to catch fire. So many of us have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And maybe you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Maybe you don't even know what spiritual gifts are all about. But you know, praying in other tongues, the Bible says it edifies us. And they were there, and they were waiting on God, and they got that. They got the Holy Spirit. They started to pray. You see all through the book of Acts how they prayed in other tongues. The book of Jude, it says that we should pray in the Spirit. You know, so many times I talk to Christians. I say, you know, are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? Yes. Do you pray in other tongues? I did. Well, do you now? No. Well, why? Why not? Why don't we? Get caught up in his word. Get caught up in his presence. Start to come into agreement with his will. Do you know the Bible says that when the Spirit of God is praying, that he's praying perfect prayers? And we can start to come into alignment. We can start to come in one accord. We can start to come in unity with what God wants to do in our lives in the earth today. Not only us individually, but us as a corporate church. Start to come into agreement, catching fire with the presence of God. Spurgeon says this. He says, the saved man is not a perfect man, but his heart's desire is to become perfect. He's always panting after perfection. And the only way you can pant after perfection, really, is to pant after the one that perfects you, and that's Jesus Christ. As the deer pants for the water, the Bible says, so I pant after the presence of the Lord. And the day will come when he will be perfected after the image of this once crucified and now glorified Savior in knowledge and true holiness. You know, the thing is, you and I have got to realize that he is working in us in perfection. And if we'll just focus on that perfection, if we'll pray in the Spirit, if we'll allow him to consume our lives, to catch on fire and to burn in every area of our lives, to purify, to glorify. Ephesians 5:18, he says in the New Living Translation, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, let the Holy Spirit, fill, and control you. You know, if we make the Word of God a focus, if we pray in the Spirit of God, if we're looking at what God wants to do in our lives, communing with Him, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us about His righteousness, to speak to us and to bring correction in the way that only He can, to bring direction into our lives. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for when we don't know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Do you realize the Spirit of God, as we just said, prays perfect prayers? The Bible says that Jesus lives to make intercession for you and I. And when we walk in the Spirit and we're not concentrating on our faults, and we're not concentrating on our weaknesses, but we're looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we're praying in the Spirit, we're looking at the Word, we're focusing. Now we've got Holy Spirit praying in agreement with Jesus over our lives, and Father God has already met every need for us. But the problem is we don't believe it. When you and I pray perfect prayers, all things will work together for our good. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And you know, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings here, but people love this scripture, verse 28, and it's a popular phrase. But sometimes we just say, well, you know, all things work together for good. All things work together for good, and then we're not even living our life really focusing on anything that's Christ. Again, you're not saved by your works. That's not what I'm suggesting. But the thing is, our life doesn't look anything like Christ. And we just say, well, everything works together. And then we wonder why things don't work together. Because we're not communing in the Spirit. We're not looking at the Word. We're not praying in other tongues. We're not letting the Spirit of God consume us with fire. Listen. In that upper room, when that Holy Spirit came, they were doing one thing. They were focusing on Jesus and waiting the way He said to. If you want a holy fire in your life that starts to lead you and direct you and purify you and change you, then start to live your life in a way that the Bible teaches to. I want to read John 16:13. Jesus said this. John 16:13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. Holy Spirit wants to speak to you, guide you, lead you, direct your life. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It says, against such there's no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another or envying one another. Am I allowing Christ in my life to allow me to love the unloving? Am I allowing Him to give me joy in the midst of the storm? Am I focusing on Him and letting the Holy Spirit start to produce these kinds of fruits in my life? Or have I just got my eyes fixed on myself and thinking, well, I don't know, maybe this gospel doesn't work. Maybe it really can't give me the kind of life that I want. It can give you the kind of life that God wants for you and the kind of life that you want. He'll give you peace when you don't understand. He'll help you be patient when you're not in control of the situation. He'll help you to be kind when those reject you that are around you, when people don't agree with you. Help you to show the goodness of God. Help you to stay faithful even when it hurts. He'll help you to be gentle even with those who are harsh. But the question is, will we allow Him to discipline our lives, to work in our lives? And that only comes from surrendering and allowing the Holy Spirit to start to burn in our lives. Let's pray today. Father, today I thank You that the Word of God is coming, that the Spirit that You're burning is a fire deep inside of us, purifying, cleansing, helping us to see things from a kingdom perspective in light of the righteousness and resurrection of Jesus Christ that You have for our lives. Today, Father, we commit to not look at our past. We commit to not look at our own shortcomings. But today we commit to do one thing: to focus on Jesus Christ. It's like Paul the Apostle said, this one thing I do, I don't look at those things behind, but I press forward. Father, I thank You that by the Spirit of God that You're helping us to press forward. You're giving us the strength that we need to move forward in You. release the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our lives, Father. And I pray that as we look to you, as we focus on you, as we look at your perfection, as we look at your peace, as we look at your love, that you're producing those things in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, there's going to be some announcements come down on the screen here, some things we didn't get to. Get involved in the life of the church.